Welcome to The Source, Quill and Scrolls Podcast. I'm Jeff Brown, the Executive Director of the Quill and Scroll International Honor Society for High School Journalists. On Friday, in the midst of the pandemic, I was able to interview Ryan Foley, an Associated Press reporter here in Iowa City, who is also a former Quill and Scroll Scholarship winner from Davenport West High School in Iowa and a Quill and Scroll member. Ryan has been covering COVID-19, and he has suggestions for students on their coverage. The audio is from our Zoom conversation. Welcome to The Source, Ryan.
Yeah, great to be here.
Tell us, let's just go back in time. Let's just start at the beginning, more or less, and your first journalistic experiences at Davenport West High School, who your advisor was, and even some of the stories that you might have been able to tell and break. Your nickname is Scoops. So tell us about some of the scoops that you might have had at Davenport West.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have a really great advisor at Davenport West, the Beacon Eye newspaper. And my advisor was a man named Stephen Lyle. And he really was good at teaching us pretty much a little bit of everything about how a newspaper works, from basic news gathering to design to photos. And so I really got a great start on journalism. And a lot of it was because of Stephen Lyle. He was a big believer in accountability journalism, which is something that I've tried to practice throughout my career. So we did a lot of stories interviewing the school superintendent, interviewing the principal, about the news of the day. One story I remember when I was a senior, there was a big scandal involving the basketball team where they had been caught drinking on the way home from a game. And so a lot of their players were suspended for this key playoff game. And it was all hush-hush. No one wanted to talk about it. But we got that news in the paper, I think. And that was one of the first times I can really remember kind of shining light on a situation that, you know, was an important thing for our school. And no one really wanted the news out, but we were able to get it. So
a lot of times when students report on stories like that, they get a lot of negative feedback from the community. And, you know, with the sort of thing that says, like, why would you make the school look bad? And why would you make these particular athletes look bad? Did that happen to you at West?
Yeah, we certainly got a little bit of pushback. I do remember that. And it was a little awkward because, you know, I knew a lot of the players and things like that. But on the other hand, they had kind of, you know, embarrassed the school in some ways, and people needed to know what was going on.
So is that sort of accountability journalism, is that the sort of work you also did when you were at the Daily Iowa and at the University of Iowa?
Yeah, absolutely. So Quill and Scroll helped give me a scholarship to go to Iowa, and I was lucky enough to get a Daily Iowan scholarship as well. I was a news reporter and started doing a lot of public records requests and freedom of information stuff when I was at Iowa. I remember one of the first times that I used FOIA to kind of break a big story was despite promises from UI, there was like no recycling on campus back then, or very little, or, you know, they weren't doing enough, and they'd say that they were. And then we just got these FOIAs that really kind of blew the lid off what was going on. I remember
I don't think I've mentioned this yet, but so when we say back then, you graduated from Davenport West in 1999, so we're talking the early 2000s.
Early 2000s, around 2000, yes. And I remember when I got this big stack of documents related to the UI's recycling program, I was just like, wow, this law is a powerful tool, and you need to use this law when you can to shine a light on what's going on. Yeah, so and that was my first taste of it. And, you know, I remember one of the stories I had was there was like a fake university that was operating out of Iowa City when I was in school here. They were, you know, Iowa City's always been known for its education programming, and this was in kind of the earlier days of the internet when there was a lot of scams out there and things like that. And there was this woman running a fake university that purported to be in downtown Iowa City. It was advertised like it was in Iowa City. And there were people from all over the world that were paying this woman money to get these, you know, it was a diploma mill, to get basically worthless diplomas. And I remember doing a big investigation on that when I was at the DI that got published. And I think it helped put that woman out of business eventually.
and probably one of the other big stories that you were involved in during that time was 9/11, and localizing a lot of stuff from that. Can you remember anything about that?
Yeah, that was an extraordinary time. I mean, that was, you know, for all of us who grew up in the sort of peace and prosperity of the 90s, and then when 9/11 hit, that was just a total wake-up call on the world, and that just changed everything. But what I do remember about that is it was such an exciting time to work at a college newspaper because everyone wanted to do their part. Like, everyone showed up, everyone was working, you know, all day to tell all the stories that came out of that. And there were just so many local angles about what was going on. And then that led into, you know, the response to the war in Afghanistan, and then eventually the war in Iraq. And that really shaped kind of the last couple years of my coverage at the DI to a great degree.
So from the DI, where was your first professional reporting job after that?
Well, I went into a program that's no longer exists, but a lot of people went through it back in my day, the Washington Center for Politics and Journalism in Washington, D.C. I had an internship with the Wall Street Journal, and that was, unlike a lot of other interns, I did it sort of after I graduated. And so that was my first kind of step into the real world. And then I went to AP in Des Moines is where I started. And I started right before the Iowa caucuses in 2004, like days before. In fact, my first assignment, I was covering John Edwards' event at Simpson College in Indianola. And I remember I filed my story, and I was so excited, and I went back to my car, and I had locked my keys in my car. So I had to, that was my first day at the AP. So then I went the next year in 2005, I was hired to work for AP in Madison, Wisconsin. And I covered kind of the State House and the University of Wisconsin system and just all kinds of news and politics in Wisconsin for about 5-6 years. And then, job opened up here in Iowa City, which was kind of a great fit for me professionally and personally. So I was lucky enough to get on as the AP correspondent in Iowa City in 2011.
Okay. And you've, and you know, over the last few months, obviously you've been covering politics in Iowa, but you've also, part of covering politics is covering the governor's response to COVID-19 and the coronavirus. Yeah. and how we're dealing with all of that. To you, does this feel like the biggest story that you've covered in your life, or is it, where does it rank in some of that?
Yeah, I think this is going to be the biggest story I've ever covered, because like, even as bad as 9/11 was, and this one is going to just go on and it for a long time, and if, you know, more people have already died, I think, and then you also have the economic impact of this one, which is just extraordinary. The human impact, this story is everything. It's a health story. It's a political story. It's a government accountability story. It's a business story. I mean, it's literally everything. And that's the story in the world right now. So it's a big one.
Yeah. And Ryan is, you know, obviously it's a podcast, so you can't see, but Ryan's in his guest bedroom at his home. I'm probably less than 2 miles away in my basement recording this. And so how has this changed? I mean, are you doing all of your work now from your home, or are you occasionally venturing out to different things to cover the story in that way?
Yeah, I've been out just a few times, but I honestly have tried to stay home as much as possible. You know, for instance, there's press briefings that you can go to, but a lot of them are also online, and there's other ways you can still ask questions without being there physically. So just to make things easier, I've tried to stay out of it as much as possible. I have gone out for certain assignments, but it's been pretty limited. Most of my reporting has been from here.
So how difficult is that then? I mean, are you finding, is it frustrating, or is this something you're thinking to yourself, this really isn't that much different than what I normally do?
It's not that much different. And what, you know, it's been like drinking from a fire hose. There's been so much news that I haven't really had a chance to reflect much, to be honest. It's just been chasing the story, you know, constantly. And so that's got kind of been exciting in some ways, just because it's just a story that never stops. And I'll be, you know, at night and on weekend, you know, it's just constant tips and stuff rolling in, and news releases, and just development after development. So it's one of those stories. It's just kind of hard to put it down for even a few minutes.
Yeah. And then obviously if you look at, if you go online and you look at Ryan's Twitter feed, if you look at the AP stories that he files every day, you know that he's busy probably 12 to 16 hours a day, I would guess.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Of course, you get your family there too. So
Yeah. My wife's a teacher. It's been great that she's been able to watch our kids. So for most of this, yeah.
But my question was going to be that, you know, you're obviously very busy just covering, you know, from an Iowa perspective, you're covering the big stories that are coming out of Des Moines, you know, stories from various hospitals around. And so you really can't, at this point, it doesn't seem like you'd have the time or the energy to get into those smaller stories. And so for our high school audience and the high school journalists are out there who are still practicing journalism and looking for stories, what are some of those smaller stories that they might be able to pick up on in their communities and with their schoolmates and classmates that the larger newspapers and news organizations aren't able to pick up on?
Yeah, well, yeah, this story is just affecting everyone so much. And that's what's kind of a struggle for us sometimes, is to get ordinary people into our stories. And so I would just urge them to look as local as possible and tell people stories and how they're affected by this, whether it's someone who you know, was sick because of this and what that was like, or who maybe lost a family member from this, or who, you know, maybe it's a local business who's really struggling with the loss of business. I mean, there's just so many different ways. Maybe it's a teacher who is, you know, adapting on how to teach their students online. Just tell the small story that tells the big story is what I would tell them, because we're all going through this and there are just so many interesting local stories out there.
Yeah, we're speaking with Ryan Foley, a reporter for the Associated Press here in Iowa. And you've got kids, I think they're, you know, preschool or school age, or
between 4 and 9. So
okay. So are you 49, yeah. Are you going to encourage them to study journalism, or at least to try it out in high school?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we still have journalism in this country by then, but no.
That's an ominous statement.
Yes. Absolutely. My oldest, he's 9. Just since he has more time at home, he's subscribed to the Gazette because they have the Kids Gazette. And so he's getting a kick out of that. And he's also reading the Washington Post, actually. So yeah, I'm certainly encouraging them to go into this. It's, you know, we get to learn things and tell stories, and it's one of the greatest professions you can have, I think.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Ryan, for joining us. Again, this is Ryan Foley from the Associated Press here in Iowa, and you've been listening to The Source, Quill and Scrolls podcast. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.